Hey guys, welcome back to this week's episode of Secondary Accounts. I am so sorry for not uploading last Monday. It has been really hectic, I guess we can say. Moving, wedding planning, getting a new job, working my current job, and just trying to stay on top of everything and planning different vacations coming up later this year, getting my scuba certification. Okay, so you guys know how I was nervous about that. So when I got certified, it was just so nice. It was, I had the right size equipment and everything, so it didn't feel like my I forget the words. Don't come at me. I am a scuba diver. No, I don't know the terms for everything yet. We are working on that. So what I was wearing to that carries my BCD and my oxygen and then my, you know, all of that goodness. It actually fit me this time because my last couple of dives, it's been way too big on me and I just wasn't used to it yet. And so now I had one that fit me perfectly and I don't know, it truly feels like you're flying underwater. And I've always dreamed of being able to like breathe underwater. I don't know, I am a swimmer, but I never like swam on like a team or anything. I wanted to, but I didn't. But that was always something that I desired. I know, I've just always been a pool girl. I love water. And being in Arizona, you know, my whole entire life, I've been exposed to the pool at a very young age. And water is my element. Don't get me wrong, land is great. I just hate it. I prefer the water. So, yeah, I guess those are like kind of my updates. Yeah, I got a new job, which I'm really excited but also really nervous for. But granted, I'm always nervous for everything because I'm anxious and that's how it be. that's what it's like sometimes. And so I'm really excited for this opportunity. I'm going to be working at a bank, which is wonderful, and it's like, wow. I get my foot in the door and I don't know, I'm just really excited for this job and for what I can learn from it and just everything. And yeah, I get married in 10 days. So the day I'm recording this is Monday, June 20th. And yes, it will come out later today. So yeah, catch me procrastinating everything. And I'm also procrastinating packing up my stuff. So, you know, I'm just procrastinating everything, but that's okay. That's normal. Yeah, it's fun. I'm so excited to move into my place with my future husband, which is kind of weird to say, but I'm also super excited. yeah, we took bridals on Thursday. So if you guys want to see some pictures, you know, check out my Instagram. I posted some on there. You don't have to if you don't want to, but like, I always love seeing people's wedding pictures. And so, yeah, if you want to see it, check it out. I guess so. Now let's get to the case. But beforehand, I'd like to preface this episode. So, in the true crime community, there will always be cases that contain graphic content. Granted, all of them are graphic to an extent, but this is one of those cases where it is pretty graphic. I apologize for not prefacing my previous episodes about their graphic nature. So from now on, I will make sure to include the advisory for listener's discretion, or listener's discretion is advised. You know, that type of thing. This case was a difficult one to research because of how graphic it is. This case includes cannibalism, sexual assault, and obviously graphic content. I will alert before I start sharing descriptions in case you would like to skip ahead, probably like a minute or so ahead, because they are long descriptions and I personally will read it. No, I do not agree with it. No, please don't think that I ever agree with these things, but I will read it because it is part of the case and it's just like, I don't know. I yeah, whatever. So let us begin. And also, this is set in Russia, so obviously Russian names are difficult. I don't know how to pronounce them, so I'm going to try. Please don't be mean, because, you know, I'm trying. And yeah, eventually one day I'll get them right, but today is probably not one of those days. And yeah, if you do know how to pronounce them, please comment on this this podcast and on our Instagram or Facebook. Please help me. I don't speak Russian. I don't know the different rules, but yeah. So now let us officially begin. Nikolai, already from the beginning, I don't know how to say his last name, so I'm gonna spell it out. D-Z-H-U-M-A-G-A-L-I-E-V. Zhumagliev. That's what I'm gonna go with. You guys can laugh. I will laugh. So Nikolai Zhumagliev, he lived in Russia with his two parents and three sisters. He had a pretty stable childhood. However, he was involved in a fight that rid him of his front teeth. Nikolai was fitted for dentures, but not the kind any basic elderly man or woman would get. No, he was fitted for teeth made out of metal. The metal was white so that it didn't look so out of place. First of all, what kind of fight would you get in where you would need to get dentures for? I don't know. I personally was never a child who got into like fist fights with people. Yes, I fought with my siblings because that's what you do. But none where we would lose teeth or get black eyes or whatever. We would just fight and be like, no, that was my spot on the couch. No, it was my turn with the TV. You know, stupid stuff like that. But never fighting where we lost each other's teeth. Granted, I am not from Nikolai's family or his country or, like, I don't know how things happen in other countries. Plus, like, I know a lot of people from, like, around where I've grown up where they've got into bad fights, and I'm just like, I don't get it. I personally don't get it, and I will never get it because I don't want to fight people. Thank you for coming to this TED Talk. Woohoo! Okay, continuing. So after Nikolai graduated from school, he enlisted into the Soviet Army. He served specifically in the chemical defense unit. And when his service was completed, he figured it was time to travel. He went to the Ural Mountains, Siberia, and Murmansk. I apologize. My handwriting is kind of sloppy and I can't really read it sometimes. And this is one of those times. Murmansk. Let's go with that. So in order for him to afford these trips, he had to work odd jobs. And some of them included being a sailor, an electrician, and a firefighter. I don't know how it is in Russia and all those different countries or places, but I know you need certain training to be all those things. Granted, I'm sure that he got that training when he was participating in the job and in the work, but it's also like, sometimes it takes a while to learn all those things. I don't know how long he traveled to these different places and what all he did during these travels, but, well, actually I can assume what he did. And let me tell you why. So, his traveling days came to an end in 1977, and he returned to his hometown in Uzenagash. Yeah, let's go with that. And he had contracted syphilis and trichomoniasis. So, I can assume what he was doing during his trips. Yeah. He was exposed to STDs and all of that loveliness. So I always joke about this with like people, but it's also a very serious thing. Don't be silly, wrap the willy. Yes, I said that on my podcast. Will I regret it in the future? Quite possibly, but it's also just, it's one of my favorite sayings, I guess, but like one of my favorite phrases, that's what I should say, because I don't randomly say that in conversation sometimes. Only when it's relevant. I don't know, it's just like I saw it one time when I was scrolling through Pinterest and I was like, yep, that's the phrase I'm gonna use. That's the phrase I'm gonna teach my children, you know? Like, hey, if you want to, just be smart and don't be silly. Wrap the willy, guys. And we can probably tell that Nikolai did not, because he contracted syphilis and trichomoniasis. Woohoo! I can say that word now. Okay. So, with these different illnesses came other ailments and side effects that greatly impacted Nikolai. And during the years of 1977 to 1979, he opened something inside of himself and planned what he would do if or when he murdered somebody. I know, it's like kind of a big jump. Like, wow, you were out traveling the world, or, you know, different places, and you get sick, and then you decide to plan a murder. How do you get there? I don't get it. And in January of 1979, he used his hunting skills to fulfill this plan of his. Nikolai knew how to hunt and stalk animals in the mountains. With this skill of his, he stalked a peasant woman and attacked her while pulling her into the woods to avoid being seen. This woman lived near a mountain track. I'm assuming it means some kind of trail, like a hiking trail, or I don't know, maybe people sent exported and imported goods down this track. I'm not sure. But she was already in a somewhat remote part of town. And after this attack, and after he was caught, Nikolai later recounted this event to the police and shared with graphic details what he did. What he says is very graphic and disturbing, so feel free to skip ahead about a minute or so. I'm not offended. Please skip ahead if you don't feel comfortable with this. That is a-okay. All right. Now I'm going to share what he says about this murder that he committed. So Nikolai said, "I cut her throat with a knife. Then I drank her blood. At this point, from the village appeared a bus. I lied down on the ground and crouched next to the murderer. While I was lying in my cold hands, when the bus drove away, I warmed my hands on the woman's body and stripped her naked. I cut the corpse's breast into strips, removed the ovaries, separated the pelvis and hips. I then folded these pieces into a backpack and carried them home. I melted the fat to fry with, and some parts I pickled. Once I put the parts through a meat grinder and made dumplings. I saved the meat for myself. I never served it to anyone else. Twice I grilled the heart and the kidneys. Grilled meat too. But it was tough and cooked it for a long time because it had its own fat. The meat of this woman took me a month to eat." End quote. Yeah. You guys can understand why it was difficult to continue looking into this case. Yeah, it's just, I don't understand how somebody can do this to another human being, another person. I guess because Nikolai was a hunter, this is me trying to understand where he got these ideas from and trying to comprehend why he did what he did. No, I do not condone any of it. This is me just trying to understand. And granted, I will never understand, and that's okay, because who wants to understand a monster? But this sounds, what he did sounds like something you would do to animals. And Nikolai hunted animals. He was a hunter. He knew these things. And I think he got those ideas from hunting those animals and was like, I want to try this on a human being. Ugh, it's just, I hate this. It's so sick and disgusting. We all know it is. It's awful. Don't. Yeah. And it also just, I don't know if this was translated from Russian to English or if he confessed this while speaking English, but yes, everything that I said, I got from an article that had a quote from him. So no, I'm not missing words or anything. It just, you know, languages and translating or speaking another language, it's just, you're bound to miss some words. And because I'm a native English speaker, I notice those, but like for people who aren't native English speakers, it's fine. Like, I don't care. Like, good job for learning English. But I just, a lot of people also think that he got this sick and mad kind of desire or fantasy because of his illnesses like syphilis and trichomoniasis. I don't believe that. I think that he had these dark urges and these dark fantasies before any of that, because I don't think like wanting to murder and eat somebody comes out of nowhere. I feel like either he had these thoughts as a child, but he never did anything about it. Maybe he started the fight where he ended up getting his metal teeth. That incident later gave him the nickname of Metal Fang. I hate giving criminals nicknames. They don't deserve those so-called cool names because they are not cool. They are awful people, and giving these criminals these cool names is just for the media to get people to read their story and be like, oh my gosh, listen. And instead, I would love to just name these criminals, like, I don't know, stupid names where they aren't given any credit or, like, I don't know, given these interesting names. That's a story for another time. But yeah, I just feel like Nikolai was always messed up in the head, and he was like, it is time to fulfill my fantasy. No, it's not. It's never that time. No, thank you. So, yeah, that's that murder. And my little rant that goes along with it. So after he murdered this local Uzunagash, again, I apologize for my not Russian. After he murdered the local Uzunagash woman, he enjoyed the taste of human flesh and wanted more. After the first murder, 6 more women were killed and cannibalized during the few months afterwards, like immediately following the first murder. A few months goes by and 6 more women are killed. So this total is now up to 7. So, in August of 1979, he was arrested. Yay! Finally, he was caught for his crimes. No, he wasn't. He was arrested for shooting a colleague while he was drunk, Nikolai being the drunk one. Not for murdering and cannibalizing these women, but for shooting a colleague of his. During his detainment, Nikolai was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and he was eventually released because the shooting was ruled as an accident. And the article I was reading, or one of them, said that, oh, if only the authorities knew. Don't get me wrong, that phrase is just very tempting to fall into because it's such a rabbit hole kind of phrase. But I'm sure looking back, the authorities were kicking themselves and were furious that they hadn't caught him sooner, but they didn't know. Like, if only I had known, then we could have done something. But they didn't know. And yes, it's a lot easier said than done. But you can't blame yourself for not knowing. Granted, I'm a hypocrite because I do that. But I'm working on it. It's a process. And I just think whenever you think like that, it destroys a part of you. Because how are you supposed to know these things? You aren't. How are you supposed to know if, let's say, your colleague who just shot you because he was drunk was also a murderer and a cannibal? How are you supposed to know this? You aren't. And I don't know. I don't know how people do it. Like, it's hard. Okay. And so after Nikolai was released, he still had a thirst for blood, and it took over him. He committed 3 more murders that we know of, so that takes up his total to 10-ish. And the last one that we have on record was, some believe that it was first in the first murder. And that says a lot because the first murder is difficult to process and to even think about. And it's just like, it's really hard to classify which murders are worse than others because all of them are bad. All of them are awful to try to understand and try to comprehend. And I guess just learning about these different murders, it's difficult because all of them are bad in their own ways, especially because the victims, they had their lives ahead of them. They didn't deserve any of this. And I think that's worse. All of the victims don't deserve this. And I feel like measuring, oh, which murder is the worst of the serial killers? I feel like it kind of ignores the victims, because the victims are very much still valid in their case, but they're being like glazed over because their murder wasn't as bad as somebody else's. Granted, the more gruesome and more graphic murders tend to be the ones that are more, that have more notes taken about them and more stories written about them, because the more graphic, the more there will be of an audience, which is really heartbreaking because all of the victims matter. They were somebody. They were someone. And yes, victims matter. Their story matters. Let's continue. So in December of 1981, Nikolai decided to host a dinner party and decided to invite some of his friends. He had friends who would be friends with this guy. Granted, they didn't know. Maybe he was good at acting and being like, oh my gosh, I am great and wonderful. You know, because a lot of serial killers and just awful people, they know how to act and hide it, which is really scary because literally anybody could be bad. And that's just, I don't know, that really scares me. Anywho, moving on. And so when everybody got to the dinner party and they were all socializing with each other, Nikolai decided that it was time. He pulled one of his so-called friends into another room so they could have a private conversation. And of all the sources that I've looked into, I don't know if this so-called friend is a woman or not. I'm assuming so because that's his profile. He targets women. I don't know if this is a woman or not. Yeah, continuing. But the so-called private conversation that Nikolai wanted to have, it never happened because he had other plans. Instead, he decided to kill this guest. And yes, the party was still going on with the rest of the guests and the rest of his friends in the neighboring room. But still, Nikolai proceeded. He ended up dismembering his guest and was caught when his friends were looking for Nikolai. Immediately, they call the police because they are good people who don't support murderers. Good job on their friends, but it's also, I can't even imagine like that fear and that terror. And I just, wow. I am somebody. So, you know, the 3 F's of like fear or whatever. Freeze, flight, and fight. I'm somebody who freezes, okay? Like, one time, my fiancé and I were out on a walk, and we're at like my neighborhood park, and then all of a sudden this car pulls up down the street and they park right in front of the park structure where we were, and this girl comes out of the car. Granted, she was like a teenager, younger than Brandon and I, but still a teenager, and she starts walking up. Brandon is definitely a flight type of guy, which is okay. I don't blame him. You know, at least he has reflexes. Good job. And he just runs down the slide and he runs, and I'm just frozen there. And I'm like, hello? And then this girl, I'm pretty sure this was a prank because, you know, teenagers and their pranks. It's so annoying. But yeah, then she was like, oh, I'm sorry. Then goes back to her car and drives away. And there were other people in the car because she got out of the passenger seat. Anywho, I froze. I wonder if any of these guests froze when they saw what their host was doing. I would have frozen. Brandon would have ran away and called the police. Good job, Brandon. I'm proud of you in this hypothetical situation that hopefully never happens. Okay. And so then, eventually the police arrived and they were shocked at what they had found. Nikolai was still there. He was kneeling in front of the body and he was covered in blood. Police just, they were in shock. They had no idea what to do. They had no idea what they were doing. And this gave Nikolai an opportunity to escape. And Nikolai, some sources say that he was naked and ran towards the mountains. If he was naked, Russia is cold, man. Russia is cold. And this was in December. And so some people say that he was naked, still covered in blood, whatever. And he ran to the mountains. And eventually a manhunt commenced. Obviously, because they were hunting down a murderer and a cannibal. And it ended when Nikolai was found at his cousin's house. So, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love and adore my cousins. I don't know what happened here. I don't know if the cousin called the police and was like, oh my gosh, you know, my cousin is here. Please get him out of my house. Or if police just found his trail and found Nikolai. Whatever happened, it happened. And hopefully the cousin is a good human being and was like, I'm going to turn him in, even if he's family. Because sometimes family members can do bad things. My family hasn't done anything that I know of. Dun, dun, dun! Just kidding. Just kidding. Sorry, headphone users. And yeah. Like, having that confidence, well, I don't know if it's confidence, but like, that moral compass inside of you being stronger than that family tie, supposedly. I hope you guys know what I mean. Because sometimes it's hard to be like, oh yeah, my family member did this, and having to confront them by having the police arrest them and be like, haha, I turned you in. But also it's not kind of a haha thing, it's like sad, it's like, oh, you are my cousin, we used to hang out all the time when we were younger, or something like that. This is what I'm assuming. Yes, that's what I'm assuming. But if I were in this situation, I would turn in my cousin. If any of my cousins are listening, hi, I love you. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for listening. But if you decide to murder and cannibalize someone, I am turning you in without a doubt in my mind. Hope you don't mind. Just kidding. So, well, like, not just kidding to me turning them in. You guys, whatever. Whatever. Yeah, so, good job, cousin. Hopefully you turned in your awful cannibal cousin. I'm not sure, but that's my rant. And so, Nikolai was caught and his trial was set to begin a year later. And at this trial, he was charged with 7 of the 9 murders that police have suspected him of committing. However, since Nikolai was previously declared insane, he was not guilty since he was diagnosed with schizophrenia during his first arrest because he decided to shoot a coworker while he was drunk. And after this decision, Nikolai was sent to a closed mental hospital in Tashkent, Uzbekistan. And again, I apologize. My not-so-Russian Russian is not good. And there at this closed mental hospital, Nikolai stayed for about 8 years. And after his 8 years, his request for a transfer was granted. It was accepted. And during this transfer, Nikolai somehow managed to escape. And for 2 years, he was being searched for. Investigators did, in fact, find a letter that was sent from... how do I say this? Zhumagliev. Again, please laugh with me, not at me. And there, that letter was, it was postmarked from Moscow that was being sent to a friend in Bishkek. Wow. How did they find the letter? What did it, like, in the from line on the envelope was, like, from Nikolai. Stupid. If that's the case, this stupid man, you deserve to be in prison for all that you've done. So, investigators eventually found Nikolai in the Ural Mountains of Fergana in Uzbekistan. He loves his mountains, doesn't he? Which is, ugh, just, ugh, be in prison. So, in 1991, he was found and he was placed in a closely monitored mental facility. And since then, no news emerged about Nikolai for years. Nothing. But in 2015, some reports began to surface regarding Nikolai. Rumors say that he escaped again from the police and is on the run. The hospital he was supposedly being held in never confirmed or denied his presence. And the police in Uzbekistan won't confirm whether or not he has escaped. Some sources say that Nikolai is still serving a sentence, while some speculate he is on the run. In fact, there are some who blame him for the disappearance of Seda Akhshanova, who was a 22-year-old who has not been seen since New Year's of 2016. We don't know what's happened to her. We don't know what's happened to Nikolai, but I have this theory. Granted, I have not thought much into this theory. I have not put in time and effort to find different sources that support my theory, but it's a theory, and I'm going to entertain you guys with this theory. So I'm thinking, like, because the hospital never really said, oh yeah, we have Nikolai here in our hold, what if he was never sent there? What if instead he was executed? You know, but, like, it wasn't official, like, officially documented or anything, or, like, it was assigned. Maybe people were just fed up with him and was like, I don't want him to go back out on the streets because he's managed to escape. He might escape again. Or maybe he is escaped. Maybe he's back in the mountains and it's just like, where is he? I don't know where he is. And that's scary to think about. And it's just, he would be old by now. Like, I think during his first arrest, he was like 60 something, I think. I apologize, my numbers are off. Probably. I don't know. So it's just kind of weird. And I'm like, it's fishy. I just don't know what to think about this case. Like, the after facts. You guys know my thoughts on this case. It pisses me off and I hate this man. So, like, I don't know if he's out there. I think he escaped, because if the hospital says, oh yeah, we don't have any news on him, dude, he escaped. If the police don't, like, announce any of reports, like, oh yeah, you guys need to stay in your homes and just keep a lookout for this strange guy because he eats and kills people. What the heck? If he was captive, like, if he was in prison, or if he was still in the mental facility, police would have a firm answer. Because they're not giving a firm answer, that makes me think, maybe he did escape. And that's scary. Like, I would want to know if I was a citizen of, like, Uzbekistan, or in Russia, or what. Ever. Is Uzbekistan in Russia? Probably. I apologize for my lack of geographical knowledge. So please don't come at me. Please teach me instead in a nice, respectful way. Okay? Okay. Thank you. So yeah, I just, if I was there, if I was a citizen there, I would want to know if a murderer and a cannibal was on the loose. I think you guys would agree with me. But yeah, this is the tale of Metal Fang, or Nikolai. Cue his last name. I won't say it again because I will laugh. Yeah, so that's the story. I don't know if I'll be able to get another episode out this week. My goal is to do that so I can make up for the one that I missed last week. But yeah, so we will try that. But if I don't get two up this week, there will be one on Monday. I promise you that. And I know I promised last time, but like, I promise. Okay? I will make more time. And yeah, when I procrastinate packing and moving, I can work on my podcast. Cool. Yeah, I get married in 10 days. I don't know what my schedule will be like for next Monday. I'm hoping to. But if not, I apologize, but I will be back eventually because July 4th, I'm coming back from my honeymoon and, you know, it's Independence Day. So might be with my family or my in-laws, which are still my family, but you know what I mean. Yeah, so I'll figure it out. I'll post about it on Instagram and our Facebook. Please follow us there at Secondary Accounts. Yeah, and if you guys have any cases that you want me to look into, please let me know. I love learning about different cases. And honestly, I love learning about the cases that aren't, like, screaming at you, you know? It's like, oh, dude, like, Ted Bundy, or, like, the O.J. Simpson case, or Jeffrey Dahmer, or John Wayne Gacy. You know, don't get me wrong, those cases are very interesting to learn about. But it's also like, I want to learn about the ones that many people don't really know, because granted, I don't really know them either, and I want to learn more. So yeah, again, thank you for coming to my TED Talks. Thank you for listening to my rants and to this episode, and I hope you guys enjoyed, and I will see you guys next time. Bye.